Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to Mark 1, verse 40. On Wednesday nights, we've been talking about faith and healing and different topics along those lines for since last fall. And we'll just stay there until if and when God tells us to do something different, but we just feel led along that line to just stay there. So turn over to Mark 1, verse 40. We were on a series, we've been on a series about called He is Willing. God is Willing, and specifically talking about healing. And we've already covered that three Wednesdays, and I think we're going to stay there at least tonight. And every time we've talked about this verse, or verses specifically, and we should go ahead and read them again. Verse 40, Mark 1, verse 40, it says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." Now we've talked about different aspects of this, but just to review a little bit, the leper came to Jesus. Now just that he came to Jesus, he believed that Jesus could do something. There's a measure of faith there. He came expecting and believing. He had heard about Jesus and he expected and believed that God could do something. And so he believed that God could do it. So there is a measure of faith there, and there are millions of people that believe God can. In fact, I would say majority of people believe that God, most people believe God can do anything he wants to do, if he's so inclined. And God has limited himself, and he will never violate his word. But most people don't have a problem with God being able to do something. The part they're not necessarily sure, like this leper, is whether or not he's willing. Whether or not it's his will. People get hung up on that. Millions of people believe that they're living in the will of God in sickness. Millions. And they believe God sent it. And God did it. It's sad, but it's true. And many sincere people, Christians, that God loves, that Jesus died for, just like you and me, believe that their Father has them sick for a reason and that it's His will. And they believe it wholeheartedly. And it's a lie. It's not what the Bible teaches, it's religion. And a lot of times what you'll see is that people will believe, essentially, one line of thinking is that anything, basically you determine the will of God by what happens. So if you pray, let's say you pray for healing, and you don't get healed, then that was God answering your prayer. He just answered it not the way you wanted to, but that must be the will of God, because that's what happened. And nothing happens apart from the will of God. Not so. If that were true, how many of you know there were people that died today and went to hell? Yes. Now let me ask you, is that the will of God? No. No. If everything that happened on this earth was the will of God, God would not let, if it was just up to Him to do everything and nothing happened apart from His will, you think He'd let people die and go to hell for eternity? That's a whole lot more important than your body. I mean, your body's only going to be around for a few decades. Century, you know, if you're really going strong. But your spirit, millennia, and whatever's above that, you know, it's only 1,000 years. You just keep going up forever. Now, the Bible says that He does not wish that any would perish, yet people die and go to hell. But that's not His will. Well, if those kind of things happen every day and that's not His will, how many other things are happening every day that aren't His will? That He does not want it to happen? It grieves Him that it's happening, yet it happens. Just because He allows things to happen, He allows men a free will. He allows people to reject Jesus. That doesn't mean He backs it up. That doesn't mean He wants it to happen. That doesn't mean He's behind it. Just because something does happen or doesn't happen does not mean, that does not determine God's will. What determines His will is what He said in His Word. This is the will of God. Thank God that we have it, that we can turn and see what the will of God is. Verse 40 then says, "Now a leper came to Him, imploring Him, kneeling down to Him and saying to Him, 'If You are willing, You can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion," and we've talked about some of these things, but I'm just reviewing. He was moved with compassion. Think of what He must have been thinking at this point. Jesus came. He knows what He's doing. He knows who He is at this point. He knows why He came. This man believes he can, but he doesn't know if he wants to. And the Bible says He was moved with compassion. And what we have to be careful of is sometimes, you may not put it into words, but there can be this subtle feeling. You wouldn't say, especially if you've heard things along this line, you would say, "Oh no, I know it's God's will for me to be healed." But when certain things go a certain way in life, that, you know, and maybe there's a passage of time or whatever, the devil will come and whisper into your ear. And he won't say it's him. He always comes in the first person. He doesn't say, "Psst, this is the devil. You don't like God. God is being mean to you." He doesn't do that. He plants thoughts in your head. And they sound more like, "Why is this happening? I don't know. If God were faithful, what's going on? Why hasn't this already happened?" And he comes. He's a deceiver. This is the way he came to Eve right at the beginning. The Bible calls him Genesis to Revelation. Revelation calls him that serpent of old, the great deceiver who will go about deceiving all the nations. This is what he does. This is part of his job description. Deceiver. Satan. If he had a desk, you know, you went into his office. Satan. Under it. Deceiver. He is a deceiver. That's what he does. So when you hear something that is doubt, unbelief, anything that tries to get you to doubt God, to be discouraged, it's the enemy. Because God doesn't have any of that. So when you hear anything that makes you want to feel depressed, makes you just want to break down and cry, makes you want to doubt God, that's the devil. Just mark it up. That's the enemy trying to steal your faith, trying to get you to doubt God, just like he did to Eve. What did he say? He came and said, "Did God really say that?" And he'll come and say, "Why? What's going on? God? You sure about God?" And so we may not verbalize it, but what happens is that we can feel, again, you wouldn't say it this way, but is God willing? For me. And you could quote scriptures. If I asked you, maybe you could quote scriptures and say, "No, I know he's willing." But inside, there's a subtle thing that's trying to put pressure on you and say, "But is he really?" And it's not even a verbal thing. It's just a weight that makes you feel like I'm something's wrong. I'm not sure. And it's never God. We may have to come to see some things there, but if you saw God behind the scenes, God is for us. He is always merciful and gracious and working on our side for everything to go well. He is never the problem. Ever, never, ever, ever. And so the last thing we want to do is buy into the enemy's tactics and start pointing our guns at God and getting mad at him and start impugning him and blaming him, because he's our help. He's been more merciful than we even know. If we could see everything that was going on behind the scenes, we say, "Oh God, you were so merciful." So ever, and we've probably all been there at one time or another, where we've been tempted. I know I have. At different times in my life, you feel like God's the problem. I'm doing what I know to do, and God's the problem. You know how foolish that sounds? God's the problem. I'm doing everything right, but God's the problem? That's just pride. Now, you may not say it like that, but I mean, when we get fall into that, we're just being dumb. We're saying, God, I'm doing my part. Where are you? The faithful one, the creator, that's been there always. He had no beginning, and we've been on the earth a few decades, and we come to see, I'm doing everything, I know everything. Where are you, God? That's just pride. Whether we're going to say it like that or not, but that's how the devil wants to get us, because that's where he comes from. He is proud. He thought he could take on God and win. How much more proud can you get than that? What was he thinking when he stormed heaven? He's going to come out of there victorious? He really thought he was going to beat the Almighty. Now, I don't think there's probably much of a battle. There is no contest between God and the devil. It's not like equal and opposite forces. Satan can't take on a child of God, let alone the Almighty himself. We have the greater one on the inside of us. We can put him on the run at any time. But the enemy will try to turn our hearts to start doubting him and get us to separate ourselves from our help. If we separate ourselves from our help, where are we now? We've just put ourselves in his hands. We don't want to be there. Because he sure doesn't have any mercy. There is no mercy in him. There is no good in him. He's a thief. He kills. He steals. He destroys. He is the destroyer. That's all he does. He comes to kill men, destroy them, wipe things out. That's what he does. So we have to know that he's willing and get it so grounded in us that, no, he's willing. He's willing for me. He's willing for my family. This is what the Word of God says, and I will thank him. He's not the problem. He's on his way. God, I'm on your side. You show me. See, we put ourselves in a position then. We're speaking the Word. We're saying the Word. We're putting ourselves right up so that he can, legally, he comes in, he can help us. We don't bind ourselves with our words. If we start putting ourselves a distance between him and us through our words, we're tying his hands. We do not want to put ourselves in that position. That's what the devil would like us to do. But again, he's a liar. So that discouragement that comes, that despair, and it comes to everyone. Don't be deceived. It comes to everybody. The temptation comes to all people. It's what we do. Just because we're tempted to do something doesn't mean that we've sinned or we've missed it. The devil will tempt you. He'll try to push you. He'll try to twist you. That's when we stand up and say, but my God, but my God, but my God. Because he can't whip us. He can't destroy us unless we give him consent. He cannot. He likes to think, he likes to try to make you believe that he can just do anything he wants. And he's a liar. He is a liar. He's making big smoke and mirrors, and he's trying, you know, he's like a finger puppet showing this big shadow and trying to scare you, but he's nothing. I'm telling you, he's nothing. The Bible says he's nothing. What he tries to do is say, booga, 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 and tries to get you to be scared and run. With our tail between our legs, and all the time, he's scared of us. He's the bully. He is scared spitless of us. He is frightened. I told you this story, you know, not too many weeks back. But we knew some missionaries would come to our church in Lincoln, Nebraska, and they were in Panama. And they told the story of, or an account, they talked to a witch doctor down there that had got converted. And he said, this witch doctor came to say, if you Christians only knew the power that you have inside you. He said, when a Christian would come walking through the woods, now he's talking about when he wasn't saved, when he was a witch doctor, he said it was just like a light coming down the path. And they were scared. And their only thing was that the Christian didn't know how much power they had. But when they came through the forest, it was just like a glow, a light coming through. Spiritually speaking, these people discern spiritual things. They may be on the wicked side, but they could still discern things, the power that was emanating from a Christian. Why? Because we have the greater one inside of us. We have the Holy God of Israel inside of us. The Holy Spirit. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. Satan can't take on a believer. One. You may be thinking in your head, yeah, but you know, thinking of certain movies and stuff. Those are lies. Satan tries to make himself look big, look huge. It's a propaganda machine. He's not big. He's defeated. He's whipped. And when the child of God takes his place, his only hope is that you start turning your mouth against yourself. You separate yourself from God and start saying all the things that he wants you to say. Start backing yourself so that he can take you over without a fight. But if we get up and say, no, that's enough. What did we quoted this a couple weeks ago. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he might flee from you if he feels like it. If you say it really loud and resist him really loud at the top of your lungs, then he may flee. No, it says resist the devil. Why don't you turn there? James 4:7. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. James 4:7. Everybody there? Mm-hmm. It says, therefore, submit to God. Number one, just get under God's wings. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will. He will. Reading, this is the Bible. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It doesn't say he might. It doesn't say if you feel super strong at that point. It says resist him and he will go. In another translation, it says stand up to the devil and he will turn and run. I like that translation because that gives you a picture. You stand up to him. He's trying to get you to be cowering in front of him. He's trying to get you afraid. He's trying to get you to yield to him. He's like a bully. But if you stand up to him and say, get out of here, he'll go. He will go. The Holy Spirit is backing those words up. God the Father, this is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's the enforcer. You give the word of God, Satan has to flee, and he knows it. So he'll do everything in his power to get you to start turning your mouth, your weapon, against yourself. Start saying all the things he wants you to say. I can't do it. I'm afraid. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know what I'm going to do. What are you saying? You're yielding to him. You're not yielding to God. You're yielding your mouth as a tool of Him. And He knows you have the power, but if you yield that power to Him, you start giving Him influence. This is how He influences people. Gets them to yield to Him. If He gets them to yield to Him, He has dominion over them. By choice. He can't force His power. He can't stand up and say, I'm taking you over. He can't do that with a Christian. Cannot. Never has happened, never will happen. The only way he can do it is if somebody willingly basically hands over the keys and says, I'm defeated, I can't do anything, I'm going to yield to everything that's going into my head, all these things, I'm going to say, yep, I can't make it, I'm never going to make it, I don't know how I'm going to make it, I'm defeated. Have you ever done that? I know I've done that. But we're yielding, we didn't have to. We're yielding to him at that point. We're being mouthpieces of the enemy. What we have to do is say, I will not say that. You liar. I am going to say the word of God. You get out of here in the name of Jesus. I am more than a conqueror. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. That's speaking of the devil there. You start speaking what God says. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. That at that point, we are declaring what he says, and his power will back it up. Period. The devil will run. He'll go take on somebody else that isn't going to throw it in his face because he's a coward. He is. Hallelujah. He is a coward. But we have to know if he can get us to doubt, get us to cower, get us to believe that God may not be willing. This is how he wages war. It's not a frontal attack. Unless that'll work in a case, he'll do that too. But more often than not, it's subtle. He's trying to get you to doubt, to take yourself out. Because he can't take a frontal attack. I mean, most of the time, he's not going to come at you trying to get you that you know it's him and to knock him straight away because he knows he has to flee if you resist him. So what's he going to do? He's going to try to flank you to get you to start doubting God and then defeat yourself. That's what he does. That's a tactic. He doesn't change, but we're not ignorant of his devices. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Hallelujah. All right, let's go over to 3 John 2. It's right before Revelation. Thank you, Lord. I encourage you, if you haven't listened to all those messages, and if you missed some or whatever, just that's what they're there for. Sometimes we just need to get a good dose of certain things and just get it settled, and this is one of those things. And it'll do you good to just listen to it and just get it settled here. More than one thing about him being, it's that it's his will. Not with your head. Okay, it's not with your head. It's not, I've heard that, I know it's God's will. That's not what cuts it, because faith is of the heart. Your heart needs to get a hold of it, that God is for me, he's with me, period. Not, I know it, but I feel like running, I know it, my heart's settled within me. And I'm ready, and nobody's going to push me off it. He is willing for me. Not he's willing generally for everybody, but in my situation, he's right behind me saying, you go, child, I'm backing up everything you say. That's where we need it. We need to make it personal. It's not good enough to believe that Jesus can save and that he is the Savior. We have to become born again. We have to believe that he bore our sins, that he was raised for our justification. And when we do that, we make it personal. That's when we believe on him. Not this, because there's people that believe he's a Savior. He's the Savior, but he's not their Savior. Well, it's the same thing. You can believe that, well, he's a healer. I know I've heard the scriptures. I've heard a teaching. I know he can heal. But is he my healer? My physician? Is it for me? Do I know that he's 100% on my side? 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Yes, this is some people say, well, this is just an introduction. Well, it gives you the heart of what John is saying to his friend. And how much more, and this cuts to the heart of the problem, people don't really believe this stuff about it being God's will for them to be sick. We don't. Those are things that people believe in church, but they don't believe it when they get out in the world. They don't believe it. They'll do everything they can to fight against sickness. They'll do everything they can to make sure their family has a chance against sickness. People will say they believe this stuff, but then they'll go out, and if anybody talks about acting the way people accuse God of acting, they would lock a person like that up, and they would be angry if they heard about somebody being treated like that, some father somewhere treating their children. Yet we will accuse God of this and say and look all religious and turn to scriptures, but nobody believes it, really. I mean, they may have come to being brainwashed to believe it, but at the beginning, most people's reaction is, how could I serve a God that is going to put sickness on me or my child? People have been told at funerals or so somebody's sick, well, this is just the will of God. He's showing you something. He's teaching you something. People have walked out and never darkened the door of a church again because they say, if that's the way God is, I don't want to have anything to do with him. That is the natural reaction of any human being. They say that's unjust. If that's the way he is, I don't want to have anything to do with them. And that's rightly so. I'm not saying they should turn their back on God, but I'm saying the reaction. It shows what we believe. We're saying that's unjust, but what people have been shown is they're grieving, they're hurting, they don't have anywhere to turn, but they're being told this is what God's doing, this is his will. And people say, God, they still love God. And so they say, God, I'm not going to turn away from you. If this is what you want, then I'll still serve you, but I don't understand it. I don't have any idea how you could be like that, but I'm going to serve you. So they give into it. They've been told this is the way God is, but it's a lie. But their reaction initially is, "How? I don't want to serve somebody like that." That's what they really believe. And the whole time then, what are they going to do? People will still go to the doctor, still use every weapon they can to get rid of it. And if people ought to be consistent if they're going to be like that. And I'm not being critical. I'm sincere people believe this. But I'm saying you can see that it's not of God. It's not what they really believe because they'll take every weapon they can right up until the end. If that's what it takes to try to get rid of the sickness, every new treatment, everything, trying to get rid of it, and then at the end say, well, it must not be God's will. Why? Because the person died? Doesn't have anything to do with it. No, they're the whole time fighting because they don't believe it's right. Why? Because it steals, it kills, it destroys, it's breaking apart a family, it's stealing a loved one. It's a lie. So they don't believe that's right. And they don't believe any just God would really do that. But this, you know, when people say, well, this is just an introduction. This isn't saying anything about what God believes. Well, this is a person wishing his friend well. How much more God the Father wants us to do well? He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to walk well. Who else? You're saying a man would write to his friend, beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. But God has other ideas. Say, well, for this other person, I want him to be in health. But you, sorry, buddy, you're getting cancer. You're going to die. How does that make any sense? But he is love. I mean, we have the love of God shed abroad in our heart, but we're talking about love personified, yet he doesn't want the same things we could see would be love. That does not make any sense. And this is at the heart of the issue. That we'll make religious, Satan tries to bring in things, bring in issues, and tries to get us to believe something that nobody in their right mind actually believes. We don't actually believe that about God. I want to read this to you in a couple other translations. 3 John 2 from the New International Version says, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Now imagine God saying this to us. He's saying, child, I wish that everything in your life was just peachy keen, that you were having a good time, and your body's working right, your mind's working right, and you're just prospering. That's His will for us. That is. This is a summary. This is not just an introduction. This is God's will for His children. He's a good father. He just says, I want everything in your life, just like you would with your children, or your parent, or your friend. You know, write them a letter and say, man, I hope everything's going great for you. Why? Because I love you. I want to see things go well for you. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. 3 John 2, I didn't write the translation of this one. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. The Living Bible says, dear friend, I am praying that all is well with you and that your body is as healthy as I know your soul is. What do you get the feeling of? The guy's just saying, man, I hope everything is just peachy keen with you. I just hope everything tends all the way around. And that's what God's saying to us. When that man came up to Jesus and said, man, I know you can, but I don't know if you want to. Jesus looked at him and said, if I can, I am willing. Be clean. And he's saying the same to us. How much more? We're born again, children of God. He's saying, man, I want everything for you to be well. I want everything in your life to be great. I want you to have a good life. And when you get that image of him, not just far off God, the healer of everybody, but when we get it to where he's my God and man, he loves me and he would write me this same letter. Because this is Holy Spirit inspired. This is in the Bible. You got to read the Bible as God speaking to us. That he would write that letter and say, man, I hope you're just doing awesome today. Of course, he doesn't have to hope or whatever. He knows everything. He knows what's going on. But he's like, man, my will for you is just that you be doing awesome in everything today. Awesome. I want to see you doing great in all things. Thank you, Lord. That is his will. Amen. Let's read one more scripture and then we'll close. 2 Peter, verse 1. Second Peter 1, verse 1, says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Let's read that verse 3 again. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That would include having a healthy body. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We just got done reading. I wish above all things, or I pray that in all things you may prosper and be in health. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's provided all things, everything. He didn't forget anything. He didn't say, oops, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, they'd like to be able to get around and have a decent body. Oh, I guess I provided for salvation. I provided for relationships. But it's okay if people walk around and barely can get out of bed. That's okay. I didn't think about that. Or that's not my will. How? How can you, I mean, we've all been on the bed sick before or been, you know, had different things. That is not fun. That is not all things that pertain to life and godliness. That doesn't show, that's not God's heart for us to be flat on our back, not being able to do things or be inconvenienced every day or be working around things. That's not God's will. His will is that we just be vibrant in health, prospering in all things. Hallelujah. It is His will. His will. Thank you, Lord.